Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
All right, just a few quick announcements as we get started. You got your bulletins here. And remember that you can get these electronically, too. Just give us your email address, and we'll send them to you. Wanted to point out to you, you know, not to forget some things, because you know how it is. We do things every day. We see things every day, and we stop taking notice of them. Look at the back of your bulletin there, last page or so. There's the McShane reading plan. Polly Patterson will give you a testimony about how good it is to read the McShane plan, different verses, different chapters, all lined up together. It's a wondrous thing, and we think really opens your eyes to Scripture. Don't forget prayers for neighborhood churches. Don't forget, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth Sunday prayers and the things that we pray for, because we really need to be a church of prayer. If you're visiting with us today, just by way of explanation, what we believe is that when the followers of Jesus get together, the kingdom of God should be made visible. And so when you come together today, if you're hungry, you ought to be fed. If you're cold, you ought to be warmed. If you're thirsty, you ought to get something to drink. If you're homeless, you ought to find a home. And, if you're lonely today, you ought to leave knowing that you're part of a family. And so if we can help you with that in any way, please let us know. Prayers available after services in that room right over there. As you leave this room, it's over on the left side. Today, obviously, if you can smell it, we've got breakfast. It's a fundraiser for the Mahazi Ministry, our sister congregations in Tanzania. Your donation goes to send kids to secondary school on scholarship. Very important part, because it's not free there. They need to pay for it. And this is a great blessing to them and something that we can do to assist them. It helps with various other projects and things. I also want to draw your attention to the date night, which is coming up on Friday. And again, I want to tell you just a little bit about that date night. There are tickets like this, okay? And let me tell you what these are for. These are for you to take home today. And what I want you to do is I want you to give them to your friends. And you know people whose marriage could use a little boost. Amen? And I want you just to take some time this week and maybe even pray about that. Maybe you've been seeing things, but you haven't been paying attention to things about the marriages of your friends, because everybody's so busy. And, you know, we don't really have time to talk together. We really don't have time to communicate. And when communication gets out of the marriage, well, then we run into difficulties really quickly, don't we? So this is an opportunity to take a little Sabbath's rest together as husband and wife, and to go and to enjoy the evening. This is a gift from the churches of Northwest Des Moines, which is, right now, Zion, Westchester, and Deborah Heights Wesleyan. But we believe that by stepping out in faith and joining together to give this community something free, no obligation, no salesman will call, hopefully we'll be showing them, number one, that the kingdom of God is bigger than our congregation, amen? We can work together. And then the other goal that we have is that we would be able to show this city that we do value marriage, and that it is incredibly important in God's plan. And that we would be able to do that without having to, like, chain ourselves to the courthouse or, you know, carry placards or something like that. Because sometimes we don't value what it is that we have until it's gone. And so we want to value this and want you to spread this around. I want you to spread it around, especially to people you know who may be far from the church. And I don't mean geographically necessarily, although if you want to bring people from Omaha, that's just fine with us. But people who don't have a relationship with the church. Just let the church, through you, bless them. And now, if you all want to come too, you're absolutely welcome. Do you understand that? I'm not telling you don't come. I'm just telling you, hey, don't forget these people. And then y'all come anyway. And do you have to be married in order to go? No. Why would you? I mean, come on. It'll be fun. And you can laugh and with the rest of us. It'll be a great thing. Two other things, and then I'll be done. And I'm sorry to take so long. It's just that, man, I got an opportunity and a microphone. Stand back, okay? This week, we're going to welcome a couple of new people into our Zion community. Number one, she's going to come in starting Monday, and she's going to be working the desk and reception and phones and things in the mornings from 8 or maybe 9 till maybe 12, except when her kids are sick. And do you understand? I mean, it's that kind of a thing, okay? But you know how the average phone call here goes at Zion, right? Ring, ring, Zion Church, can I help you? Who's this? That's the first thing people ask. Who's this? I said, well, this is Zion Church. Can I help you? Well, no, who is it? Well, it's Pastor John. Who? Pastor John. Well, you don't sound like yourself, you know, and it's like, oh, okay. All right, so I just want you to know, answering the phone around this place can be a little bit rough sometimes because you have to have like a pedigree in order to do this. So this, my friend, her name is Jimena Rojas, okay? Now, I want you to say it with me, okay? First syllable, he, say it. Okay, Mena. All right, now put it together. Jimena. All right, that's good. So we can say her name properly. That'll be great. That'll make her feel welcome. She's been a closed closet volunteer for like a year, and she's been helping us out for years with things like art camp and outreaches and everything. So be sure that you welcome her this week or whenever it is that you see her. Second person is Al Perez. You remember Al Perez? Al Perez is going to preach for us today, and it's going to be magnificent. And Al is going to be basing his citywide ministry out of Zion. So what I want you to think about Zion, right, we're not a cruise ship, we're a warship. What kind of warship are we? We're an aircraft carrier, all right? Because then you land here, right, and you get your sky vehicle maintained. You get rearmed for the next mission. And while you're doing that, you enjoy coffee and fellowship, right, with the saints as we're sailing along and, you know, doing God's mission together. And so we're exceedingly happy about this. This is a great opportunity. There's going to be a lot of prayer things that are going to be happening. And this is going to help grow us up into the fullness of Christ and into spiritual maturity together at the same time while we strive together to reach the city. And so I'm very excited. And would you welcome Al up here? And Pastor Ringa is going to come pray for the sermon. Okay. Pastor Ringa? Come pray. Al, do you mind? Pastor Ring is going to pray for you, Mizo, because the Mizo get everything they ask for in prayer.
Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lalpa kanpathian voina. Ichi alo mangini chanchinte kan ngai thale dona. Zai on te hiwan nei kan inti emani. Lalpa kan pathian America rama hian baal ma thing thing ailo mi sang tam tak ida tu na poi chan chin thrasil tu ro pui tak tak te mun tin ida zela voina po zai ona lalpa kan pathian he ichia lo mangin chan chin kan ngai thadonani nangin om pui lai tharau thiang hlim in chen chil katang che I ro pui na ron puang chuak le ang che isu krista mingin kan dile amen
amen. I understood everything he said. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me? Am I good? This isn't ringing? It sounds like it is. Okay. Grab your Bibles in hand, and I just want to thank, first and foremost, great job, Pastor Brent and worship team this morning. Really just ministered to my heart. I got to look inside the bulletin there. Just prayer request, and I'll allude a little bit to it. My wife is at home with... actually two. I have a special needs daughter I will allude to in today's message. I will tie in Anna's life. And I have a son through the night that caught what Anna caught. Anna has a trach. And so she's been fighting a cold. We took her out. When Anna gets a cold, it's a full-blown deal. She could be out of school for a whole week. Poor little thing. And she's going to be turning six. She's the only child in Iowa that has Nager syndrome. She's about yay tall. And so Aiden caught her cold. So Aiden woke up with a congestion and that whole thing. So I've been up really somewhere about 3 o'clock I've been up. So I've had about, I don't know, two pots of coffee already, I think, this morning. So Mama's at home taking care of, and my wife Jody's an RN, so they're in good hands. And I want to share with you, if you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, and as Pastor gave me my assignment, I'm going to talk with my hands. I'm going to come down here. Let me just say this, I'm immensely grateful. Me being here and basing out of Zion has been something that has been in over a year of prayer. When I started stepping into the citywide arena, I sit on multiple different boards and commissions in Polk County. I'm a chaplain at Des Moines Police Department, so I minister to officers in our force. Just multiple things. One of the most, the baby that's most dear to my heart is the Transformation Group, and that is a multicultural, multi-denominational movement of pastors and nonprofit leaders in our community that come together and we serve the city together. And much like Zion, that is already a resident culture that's here. And that's why I love being here. And at the very beginning, when I started, I'm very highly relational when it comes to what I do and who I do it with. And Pastor John has been one of my cheerleaders, if you will, and supporters from day one. So it only sounds fitting for me, coming around full circle now, 4 years with Transformations Group, being involved and being here. I'd hold my meetings here all the time during the day. We'd fill up the fellowship hall with pastors and leaders from around the city. And so we've been doing this for the last several years. And there's only two locations usually where I felt the most comfortable with hosting them. And I know a lot of pastors in our city, and I know a lot of churches, and I have a lot of nonprofit friends. But I always felt comfortable here because part of my heart is the nations. Is the kingdom of God expressed in the multiplicity of nationalities that are up? That is a true. And every time school officials would meet with us or the police department would meet with us, like, gosh, that's a real multicultural group. That's a diverse group. And I said, that's the way it ought to be because we're representing Jesus to the city. And as Pastor gave me my assignment this morning, I'm not going to be long. I have just been praying over this and really just felt led as I went through Luke chapter 5. I honed in on a particular passage of scripture, and I've been praying and laboring over this to share. And so I want you to bear with me, because as we're going into 2016, I do believe with all my heart, God wants to do something extraordinary in your life. It absolutely doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. I really believe with all my heart that God wants to do greater this year than any other year of your life. I believe Holy Spirit wants to put his finger on some things that have been obstacles in your life and my life, and he wants to bring us into a place where we can do more and we can be everything that God is calling us to be. So if you look in Luke chapter 5, I'm going to be looking at verses 17 through verse 25, and I'll begin. And I'm reading out of the New American Standard. And so let me read, and I'm going to pull this thing way up here because I'm at that age now where, you know, everything's coming in and out, and I refuse yet to have reading glasses. So I'm going to fight it as long as I can, okay? So, but at some point I got to give in, right, Pastor T? At some point you just got to give in and just do it. All right, verse 17, and it says, and it came about one day that he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting with them who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And behold, some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were trying to bring him in and to set him down before or in front of him. And not fading away, let me look at this because my here, okay. And not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher right in the center in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus, unaware of their reasoning, answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? What is easier to say? Your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk. But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority in the earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise and take up your stretcher and go home." And at once he rose up before them and took up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. Boy, I need reading glasses, for real. Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning from the subject repositioning yourself. Repositioning yourself. We look in this text here and we begin, and many scholars believe this is Simon Peter's house. It is noised that Jesus is in town, and so we see these crowds, even teachers of the law, that probably based on what they mention here geographically and some of the other parallel passages around this account, up to maybe 2 days, if not longer, just getting to this place. And so we have some notable people that are here. We have people perhaps in this crowd that are hearing about Jesus and what he's doing. And the scripture is explicitly clear about the fact that when Jesus is present, there is a power to heal. I thought it would be really interesting to note that Luke makes that a point to mention that there's power to heal. And so there's this man who is a paralytic. We don't necessarily know. Sometimes in ancient Bible times when there was a paralytic, we don't always know exactly what the diagnosis is. We may, you know, whatever the malady is, it brings this man to a place where he cannot fend for himself. He is reliant on other people to carry him. Much like in the book of Acts, there was a man who was brought daily to the temple and would sit down right there at the gate beautiful, and he would beg for alms and be brought there. And then you know the story. The disciples come and they say, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And strength came to the man's legs and he began to get up and leap and praise God. The interesting thing to note is that there are some things in your life and my life that money cannot solve. And there are some things you just can't write a check in and all of a sudden it'll go away. I sit on several counties and boards. I sit on Polk County DCAT. I work with DHS. And a lot of our county tries to solve problems with thousands and thousands of dollars. It's amazing to me the budgets. I think it's over $1 million just for this year alone in Polk County to solve problems that Jesus has already have answers for, but we have a city that's still trying to solve problems by money. And there are just some things in your life and mine that money can't take away. And I sit in these meetings sometimes frustrated, though there, because I'm always looking for the bridge where the church can connect in with community and we can bridge a relationship where we can begin to minister to some people that money isn't going to solve some of these problems. Now, this man is coming and he's placed on the mat, and the Bible says that he has four friends. Interestingly enough, my first point that I want to bring to you this morning is this, is understanding just where you are right now. Because there's something that God wants to do spiritually in your life that he wants to bring you to a better place. However, when I begin to look at this passage of scripture, I begin to look some essence and say, could the man, the paralytic that's on that mat, be Al Perez? Or what do you mean, Pastor Al? Let me explain to you. About 5 years ago, almost going on 6 years ago, God had just begun to start opening some doors for me, and I'd start getting out, and a lot of the ministry I was involved in, I was, you know, just these doors I was walking through. Then all of a sudden, I got the jubilant news that we would be having our second child, Anna. But at that time when we had gotten the news about Anna and we had found out that we were pregnant and that we started to go for the first ultrasounds weren't very encouraging at all. When I began to look at those ultrasounds, immediately sitting in there, I just kind of froze, because what we were looking at, we knew unequivocally we would need a bona fide miracle from God, or we would have to know that maybe perhaps our child wouldn't survive through the pregnancy. It was at that point in time everything stopped for me. All the things that I was doing and all the things that God was opening and all the excitement I was having in ministry, all of a sudden in 1 minute, it just turned my world upside down. In fact, it would take a year later that Anna would be diagnosed by geneticists because nobody knew. There was no grid work for what we were walking through. When we found out finally what Anna had, there's absolutely no child in Iowa that has it, and it's globally rare. And most children in other countries that go to doctors or surgeons or whatever, they usually perish because the medical care that we have in the United States is far greater than it is in most other nations. Let me explain what the syndrome Anna has. The syndrome that Anna has is Nager's, which is a craniofacial disorder. Anna was born with 4 fingers and no thumbs. She was born without an underdeveloped lower jaw. She had a severely left club foot. Anna has ears, no ear canals. So she does have a hearing aid that goes across her head and she listens by bone conduction. Anna doesn't have bone developed in her right side of her face around the eye. Her right arm is fused in a 90-degree angle. It cannot hyperextend, neither can the other one. This one probably a little more, but slightly than the other. And she was a preemie. In fact, she stopped growing in the womb, and we had two OB, crisis OBs, arguing with each other back and forth on a professional opinion when to get Anna out. That's how critical it was. When she was born, this ring felt go all the way up her arm. She was so dinky and so small. As a dad's processing is, how am I going to fix this? How? It was really difficult for me because my tendency as a dad to process the situation is, how am I going to fix this? Not only that, but the fear came over me that she's not going to live because they told us she wouldn't. And so immediately I had bonding issues with Anna. Even though she came into the world, I had a hard time bonding. And every time I did, something medically would go wrong. She'd code or whatever. And little by little, I began to realize that it wasn't so much the fact that we were dealing with a medical anomaly. It was the fact that here I am, the guy, the dad of this host, who's a pastor, who ministers to all kinds of people, who helps all kinds of other families out, and I'm the guy that needs the help. Emotionally, I had all kinds of stress and anxiety and fear hit me that I never had ever had in my life. The last 6 years of my life have been the most crushing and difficult years of my life, but God is good. You can best bank on it, God is faithful, and he is not a respecter of persons. And so before I knew it, I began to have all these things, and I was finding the fact that even though Anna had professionals taking care of her, it would be me in my emotions. And things were coming up out of my life and that I didn't realize were there. You see, in the story here with the paralytic, and I want this to be practical to you because I think there's always the resume side of you and then there's the reality side of you. The resume side of you is the thing that we post on Facebook and everything is wonderful and we're on social media and things are going great and we got smiles and selfies and we're celebrating all the wonderful things rightfully. So that's what everybody sees about you. If you get on the only thing I'm on is LinkedIn. If you get on my LinkedIn account, it's for professionals. You get on my LinkedIn, you see all my accomplishments and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But if you really got to know me and you really got up close and personal, you'll find out that there are times and seasons in my life where I couldn't fully function over here in what I was called to do because God was dealing with the paralytic that was paralyzed emotionally there, and I felt like, man, I need to be carried right now. I've carried other families, I've helped other families out, but what happens when the pastor needs to be carried? What happens when the leader is dealing with his emotional stress? What is it when you got all this going good over here, but then you got this little problem over here, and one reality is saying one thing, and the other is saying something different? I think the Spirit of God this morning and is really wanting to put a finger on the things that I think for years, maybe many of us in this room have struggled with, or maybe there's something there that God has great that he wants to do, but there's just this thing over here somehow that the real reality is this is really where you are. You got degrees, you're a professional, people know us in one way, but there's the reality side. Not the resume, I already can see that, but what's the reality side of the thing that you feel in your life is hindering and holding you back from seeing God do great exploits through your life? Amen. All right, I'll say it. All right, Al. Good preaching. Because there are some things in your life, in my life, and I'm preaching to myself while I'm here. There are things that I want God to do and to see me overcome because he already called me an overcomer. He already called me victorious in Jesus Christ. So if that's what God is saying about me, then I need to say, God, I want to be in a better place this year. If you're going to keep going, listen, I minister to people all the time. We can go from year to year, same struggles. Outbursts of anger. Where'd you get the outbursts of anger? Well, you know, my mom was a screamer and my dad was a yeller, so I'm doing the same thing. Or this was this and this was that. And all of a sudden, you know, there's these areas that every time there's something that you want to see breakthrough in, but that one area just takes you steps back. And I believe this year is the year God wants to bring some healing to the areas of your life and my life at times where it feels like maybe it's stability, financial stability. Maybe you're stressing over finances. Maybe it's you have high anxiety. I don't know what it is, but no matter what the resume says, there's times in our life when we need God. We need others to help us, to carry us. Now, let me just say this real quick. It's my second point here. It's realizing where you are. This man realizes the fact that he is in a paralyzed state and he's going to need help. The second thing is, who are we running with? Who are the people in your life that you can trust to share your struggles with? I'll be honest with you. You know, when I was getting into this thing with the city and I was getting very frustrated, I would call him. I don't know why. I can just talk to John. I'd call him up and I just would feel the liberties to vent and be frustrated. I'm like, man, this and this and this. But I would get those things out and share those frustrations because I can trust him. And it's so vitally important that you find people this year because, see, when you're calling out to God to change something, you know what he does? He brings help along the way, and he sends it in the form of a person that will come into your life, and that person's not there to hurt you. Don't put your wall up. That person's there to help you. In this text, this man has four friends that are carrying him. This must have been a heavy load. Took four people to carry this load to get him to Jesus. Do you know during that time I was in the hospital and I lived in the hospital the first 3 months of Anna's existence, I felt like I was incarcerated. It felt like jail. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything. I had to be right there. And there was absolutely nothing, Pastor Tina, no check, no nothing that could take it away. Days turned into weeks. Weeks turned into months. And here I am. I'm like, God, I need to, for the first time, because pastors have the Superman complex. We help a lot of people, but we don't help ourselves, or we don't let other people help us. And I want to say this very honestly today. It's if God wants to do greater in 2016, we're going to have a group of people that we can trust, that we can be ourselves with, who can see us in a paralyzed state and rejoice with us there, and they can also rejoice when we have the breakthrough. You got to find those people out in your life because those people have to be the people that are always in your corner, always seeing the good, always looking at. And they're the people, no matter what you're going through, you're going to make it. God's going to do it. God's going to bring that breakthrough. I had people carry me through. One of my buddies is sitting right here this morning. He's been over my house. He's sitting right here at the office. And he is one of those people that ministered to my family, brought meals over. I mean, there's times where, okay, one person's bringing the meals and then one person's over there praying for you and the other person's over there running you in the middle of the night to ER or whatever it is. But we need help. And those relationships that you have in your life that God wants to send want to bring you to a place where that breakthrough comes. The third point I want to talk about here, and that is this. You would put up there. For what I'll be. I have people all along the way. Now, I'm the guy preaching the faith. I'm the one telling everybody, you're going to make, always, your marriage is going to make it. Oh, you're going to, that money's going to come in. That's going to happen. And here I am all along saying that for everybody else. And here I am, I'm like, I go home and I'm like, what about me? What about me? And I'd have to look at myself in the mirror and say, whoa, slow down a minute, Al. What is it that God's trying to teach you in this season? What is it, where's the great place, the great entrustment of God that he wants to bring me in? What is that thing that he is about to do that's so awesome in your life, but the only thing you can see right now is the problem, the struggle, or the dilemma? For somebody in this room, I'm talking about a marriage in here. For somebody in this room, I'm talking about your kids probably struggling with your family life or your kids. For somebody in this room, I'm probably talking about finances. For somebody in the room, it's a health issue. You know, doctors told us my daughter wasn't going to live. You know what? The same doctor that told my daughter that she wasn't going to live is the same doctor that really God used to save her life. And not only that, he carries her picture along with his kid's picture in his wallet as proof and testimony of God's faithfulness. We stood with people and said, your daughter is not going to die. She's going to live for the glory of God. Even when you don't see it. Even when you don't believe it. I'm going to tell you something this morning. If I say anything, and I'm going to close. God is not in the business of putting anxiety, stress, or any of these kinds of things on your life. He is the one, the parakletos, the comforter, the one that comes alongside all along, inside, and you're gonna make it. There'd be moments when everybody would leave Pastor Tina, and God's like, I'm gonna get glory out of this, Al. I'm gonna get glory, but it was so hard to see. And he would use people to carry me along the way. This is why we're here this morning at Zion. Is because as a community, we're here to bear up one another. Pastor just said a few minutes ago, if you need prayer, we're going to go back there and pray. But let me tell you something. People have a hard time asking for prayer because sometimes if they have to say the thing that they don't want nobody to know, they may feel guilt and shame. Jesus took that all the way at the cross. All the way at the cross. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ. So therefore, there's no shame, there's no guilt, and no condemnation. If you have outbursts of anger, that can happen. If you have anxiety from time to time, that can happen. But don't let that thing take you from what God intended all along. These four friends got him. And you know, there were so many people around the crowd that they couldn't get through. And so you know what these guys did? In their creativity, like, come on. We're going to see to it that we get this guy all the way to Jesus to get his healing. Because it's so important for people to follow you through. That's what I love about the friends I have. They're content on saying, come on, we're going to keep carrying you till you get to a better place. Not enabling, but they're still going to carry us to there's a better place. They must have saw something in their friend that maybe even him laying on that bed didn't see. They saw him healed if we can get him to Jesus. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants to touch your life. This morning, God wants to do something miraculous in your life. God wants to bring you in a better place in 2016 than where you are right now. He does. He does. And sometimes, it just takes that little help from somebody to help get you. That's what Zion does. Get people to Jesus. And Jesus, seeing their faith, does this. He says, first of all, he deals with the symptom. It's a sin. So that, you know, he said, the Pharisees reading their thoughts and minds. They said, oh, blasphemy. Your sins are forgiven you. Take up that mat and the thing you've been laying on all these years. Hold that thing up. It says he grabbed the mat, the thing he had been laying on, the thing he was dependent upon, the thing that carried him all the way. So this morning, here's what we're going to do. When Pastor goes takes people back there, if it's anger, if it's anxiety, if it's fear, if it's cancer, whatever it is, I told you, doctors told my wife and I, your daughter isn't going to make it, unfortunately. You know what I do? Here's my picture of my daughter at 6 years old. Here you go. Put it in your wallet because you're going to see her every year. And every year we gave it to them. age 2, age 3, age 4, age 5, now going on age 6. Because God is good. Amen. The Bible says that the man left and went home. Don't you want to go home today feeling like the thing that we, I have no dad. All the money's not there. All doctors told me. all the things that we can make excuses of. Today you're going to walk home with the very thing that we have been lying on. The very thing we've made excuses on.